Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me is the man formerly known as Timbo Slice, Timmy B. Before we get started, guys, please remember to follow, like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, wherever you get your pods. On today's podcast, we talk to a fighter who's about to make his professional debut, discuss UFC 264 McGregor versus Poirier 3, pick our fighters for a weekly fight on site, and a whole lot more. Timmy, hit it!
Yeah, it's Timmy B, Princey D, Fight in Sight, yeah.
All right, our guest today is making his professional fighting debut on July 17th at Fierce Challenger Series in Price, Utah. He is the definition of a mixed martial artist with a background in karate, starting at the age of 7 and becoming a state, national, and world champion, boxing, and Muay Thai, where he became the Nevada 147-pound state champion. Born in Whittier, California, he now trains at the famous Syndicate MMA. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to us from Las Vegas, Nevada, we've got Chris Wartime Rios.
Chris Wartime Rios.
I sound beautifully right there. Beautiful.
Ah, very good. We will ship him over to Price, Utah to announce you in, Chris. How's it going?
That's perfect. I'm going good. I'm doing good.
Good, man. Good. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We're so excited to have you. You're making your professional debut in just a couple of weeks. So how are you feeling?
I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. I've been hearing a lot about this Mitch character. You know, apparently he has hard hands, which, you know, everyone has hard hands nowadays. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out. You know, I get hit by all kinds of people. So I'm excited. So we'll see how he hits.
Nice, nice. What do you know? Like, you know, you're making your professional debut. So the other guy, does he have a lot of professional fights? What's his record?
He's actually undefeated. He's 3-0.
Ah, okay. So yeah. you know about this guy? You've seen some tape on him?
I just saw his amateur fights. That's all I saw. Professionally wise, I can't find nothing on him.
Okay. That must be difficult, right? Like at the early stages in your career when you're fighting like lesser known guys to be able to really like scout them?
Yeah, it's really difficult, but you know, it is what it is. You know, if I can't find anything that's cool, it's not gonna mess me up on what I think or what I'm trying to do when I fight. You know, when I go in that cage, I'm there for me, not for checking what he's gonna do.
It's funny because Chris is just like, I'm just so excited to kick somebody in the head, and I'm getting paid to do it. Thanks, guys.
For real.
So, Chris, for those that don't know you, right, we're trying to bring you out to a larger audience. We're going to put your social media links and stuff like that down on our YouTube. So for any of you listening, go to our YouTube page and find Chris on Instagram. But Chris, who is Chris Rios?
Who is Chris Rios? All right. So I'm just a humble guy, man. Like, say like 3 years ago, back in 2012, I was that fighter that used to talk a lot of crap. You know, like I'll find who my opponent is. I'm like, I don't even worry about it. I'm about to make him lose or like, oh, he's 4-1. Oh, I'm about to be 4-2. Like, I was that kind of fighter. But then I had one guy actually put me in check after he, like, pretty much, like, kicked my ass. Wow. So ever since that day, like, I've been really humble, and I'm just excited to fight whenever I can. And, I'm a father of 8 kids, put it that way. So basically, I had 3. My girl has 3. Then we had 2 together. So we have 8 kids all over my house. And, you know, plenty of reasons to fight, you know, especially go professional. I'm a chef here in Vegas. I work at the Luxor now. So,
oh, like, nice.
So 2 or 3 months, I'll be a head chef. So I just got that job really like 3 days ago. So I'm
congrats,
excited,
man. Chris, big things, man. Actually, dude, you know what, Tim, right? I wanted to say this because I saw your name, Chris. I saw your name is Wartime. And you know what? A song came into my head. I don't know if you remember Twins by Fat Joe and Big Pun. Ready for water, dead in Little Italy, little we been riddled the man who didn't do diddly. Do you know what Big Pun's name is?
No,
his real name is Christopher Rios.
Are you serious?
What?
I'm serious, Tim. It was like I kept saying it last night. I was like, yo, dead in Little Italy, little we riddled, little did we know riddle a man who didn't do diddly. And later on, I'm like, wait, what's Big Pun's real name? And I looked, his name is Puerto Rican, Christopher Rios. That's his name.
Well, I'm pretty sure now you must only use Big Pun as your walkout music, Chris. That's pretty much set in stone.
Off that joke, so you got to put Big Pun in there, you know. but technically, my legal name is Christopher Shirley, but my grandpa he was a boxer in the Navy, and his name is Joe Rios. So all my family, all my cousins and stuff, they went to go play baseball, football, basketball, stuff like that. So I wanted to keep my grandpa's name going in the fight world. So that's why I fight under Chris Rios. Well,
that's amazing. Sick. Yeah, that's such a great story, man. That's awesome. So you began in martial arts at 7 years old doing karate. At what point did you know that you were going to become a fighter?
Honestly, I hated karate. I hated it. Dude, come on, man. Like, I wanted to go outside and play and have fun with my friends and stuff like that. But then my parents had to drag me to karate class all the time. And turns out I was pretty good at it. You know, like me and my older sister, we competed in like all these karate tournaments. And me and her were like world champs, state champs, national champs. Like we were pretty badass karate kids. And we like back in the day, back in the 90s, there was like these like karate magazines. Me and my sister had our names in those magazines. Like we were actually known as children competitors. And then I think when I found out I really wanted to fight was when I got in a fight in high school one day. I got in a fight and I ended up getting kicked out. And my mom said as a discipline, she's going to put me in boxing. So I was like, okay, like I'm going to do that. So I went to boxing and I got really good at that. But I never competed, which I always wanted to, but my training wouldn't let me compete. So then, say like 2010, I was watching like UFC Loaded. And I seen the fight with Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture. It was the second fight. And I was in my living room, and I was like, yo, I was like, my sister and my mom, I was like, hey, I can do this. And they're like, no, you can't. And I was like, for real, I can do this. I think I can do this. And they're like, no, you can't. I'm like, watch, give me like another year, I'll start training. Another year went by, I had my first kid, and then I went to Vanity Silva's gym, one fight team, right here in Vegas. I showed up on a sparring day, and my very first day there, I jumped into sparring. My very first sparring partner was Vanity Silva. So
how did that go?
So there, dude, damn. So I'll tell you right now how it went. So I remember standing, I was starstruck and scared at the same time. It was an axe murder, you know? So
yeah,
I'm looking at him and I, you know, hell up, forget it. So I hit him on the right. He's looked at me. He's like, oh, again.
I'm like, again.
Okay, so I hit him again. Bam. Oh, again. I was like, all right, so I threw as hard as I can a little right. He just shot down, double leg me, picked me up, dropped me, got mount, looked at me, smiled, and started beating on me, dude. Just started beating on me. I was like, okay, I'm done. I tapped out.
Chris, you know what? Fight. You got the accidental back. Like I was like, oh, you got it bang on, man.
He's the Brazilian Rocky, bro. That's why I say he's the Brazilian Rocky. He talks just like Rocky, but a Brazilian accent.
Chris is going to be doing a impersonation act at the Luxor after he's the head chef. He's going to go fight, and then he'll do a little comedy show on the side.
Just don't stop, apparently. You might come up for the second round.
Yeah. you know what I wanted to say is that, you know, people don't really get their true calling for professional fighting until they get kicked out of school. Once you get kicked out of school, you're like, hey, you know what? I think I might be able to do this. And it's like your first amateur fight. When you get your first amateur fight, you get suspended, expelled from school. I'm like, I think I took a dub. I think, you know what, I might pursue this. That's what I find a lot of the fighters like, Prince, you know what, I started fighting at school. I got expelled and I just started fighting for a living and that's it, right? So there you go, right?
That happens. That's pretty much how it happens. You know, we can't get
So you're at that gym, but then somehow now through the course of your career, you found yourself at Syndicate MMA, and we had one of your gym partners, Ramona. She came on our podcast, Ramona Pasquale. She was on. And the people at Syndicate MMA, man, we love you guys. Syndicate MMA, whoever's running the Instagram there, you know, has been so pleasant to us as like a new podcast. And we appreciate it so much. They put us in touch with you saying that, hey, here's one of our young up and comers. Here's a guy who's got a fight. So we're so happy they did. How did you find Syndicate MMA? And like, how did you end up getting into that gym?
Okay, so when I first started training, I was training at a place called Long Fight Team, and then I went to Fight Capital. Basically, I was known as a gym hopper because I was trying to find the right gym, the right team to be a part of. You know, so I got a kind of bad reputation from it. But then I always known about Syndicate because I actually fought one of the fighters in King of the Cage back in like 2013. I fought one of the fighters, and yeah, he was a great wrestler, dude, and he was like a lot better than me. I wasn't expecting, because that was like a last minute fight. I wasn't supposed to be fight that weekend. I was supposed to have like the weekend off and fight next month, and then my coach hit me up and say, hey, Chris, you know, fight this guy from Syndicate, 145, go. I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. So I forgot his name though. Caleb Contreras. I fought Caleb Contreras from Syndicate, and okay. That's when I saw who John Wood was, and I got interested because, you know, I heard Syndicate is a really good gym. And then they had a whole thing called Syndicate versus Extreme Couture out here for Tough Enough out in Vegas. And that's when I got more into it. And I realized, you know, Syndicate's actually the gym I want to be at, because they have really good fighters. I heard so many like good things about them. And maybe this is like something I need to go to. And 2 years ago, I ended up getting a sponsor where he helped pay for my whole year of training at Syndicate. And I wow. just loved it. I love being there because it's a gym where I'm not constantly going to sparring and beating up my teammates. You know, I'm going to spar, and there's days where I'm doing good, there's days where I'm getting just wrecked. And me getting my ass kicked is something I really need, because I'm going to learn from that. So ever since then, I just stick with Syndicate and just felt like it was like the right place for me to be at.
Nice. That's crazy. And that really is the story, right? Because when you look at the videos of the people at Syndicate, you see a lot of like close-knit groups, but it's mm-hmm. groups of like many, and like it's yeah. and it's so different professional fighters that, and they've all got their own specialties and things like that. So you're definitely going to be learning from all of the people around you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's yep. crazy. That's good. What would you say to young fighters such as yourself that are coming up looking to be professional? Like you said, like, you know, being the gym hopper wasn't the greatest reputation. Nah. What would you tell them in terms of like what they should be looking for in a gym?
Just find, for me, like best advice is like just to find a gym where, you know, you feel welcome, you know, where people are always like good with you, always trying to give you good advice. You know, yeah, you have people there that should try to, you know, beat the hell out of you, but then that beating will help you learn something, you know. So don't like basically downgrade yourself because you got beat up. You know, look at it as a lesson. You know, no matter what gym you go to, as long as it feels accepting to you, and as long as you feel like you have the right teammates and the right coaches, that's where you should be at. You know, so if you do got to go gym to gym just to find that one piece you're missing, and do what you got to do. Who cares what anybody says? Who cares what they got to call you, gym hopper or whatever, or not loyal? It doesn't matter. You're not there to be a lawyer. You're there to be the better self version of you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like, that's the best advice I give, you know, is find somewhere where you feel perfect at, where you're going to learn and where you succeed in your career.
Hey, Chris, you know how I pick my gyms? So I walk into a gym and if the trainer, so I actually PvP, when I walked in, I walk in and I see the trainer, and the trainer actually gives me like a heartbeat, like my heart starts beating quickly, and I see like especially the ones that'll just continue to push you while you're in the middle of say you're sparring or in the middle of a drill. That's when I'm like, okay, this might be the gym, because if that coach puts that much fear into me when I'm coming in, you know, when you're just getting ready to get warmed up, okay guys, let's get ready to roll. Is there anyone in your fight team that does that for you, where you're like, oh my gosh, like this guy just scares me? Like even when you're warming up, you're like, oh my gosh, I better put my 100%
so in. I got two fighters that were like constantly on my ass, and like especially during sparring that I try to avoid sometimes because I know it's gonna be just a rough day, but I know like especially for giving for fights I gotta go with them. But say like Johnny Parsons, I'm sure you guys know him. Me and Johnny, we actually fought back in 2012, and he's the one that humbled me. He's the one that beat the hell out of me.
No.
And now we're teammates, and he's to this day still beating the hell out of me. And then we got Chris Curtis. Like I said, another up and coming, like not up and coming, but well known fighter. He's been on my ass a lot lately about just training, sparring, being consistent, being especially at sparring, having my pace and all that, not slowing down. Just damn, like those two grind me out. And when I see them, my sparring days, I'm like, okay, this is gonna suck, you know.
It's all for the greater good, yeah. Though, Chris. It's all for the greater good.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
I see your IG story too. Like, you look like you went swimming. You're like drenched. You're like, yeah. I can see you when they put the camera on you. It looked like you just went in and did like 8 miles. It's like, you know, a couple of 8 laps in the swimming pool.
Nah, man, they put me in the pool.
They put you to both of them.
That's awesome, man. When you're fighting on July 17th, it's your first professional fight. You're traveling out to Utah to take this fight. What can people expect to see when they watch Chris Wartime Rios fight?
Man, just the middle name, man. Wartime. It's gonna be war, bro. You see me on that card? Oh, it's gonna be action packed. You know, I'm so excited for this fight. Just I already know he's gonna try to take me to the ground once he starts getting pieced up on a stand up. I'm ready for it, dude. I'm ready for it, bro. Whatever he has to throw, I'm ready. It's gonna be a war, bro. It's gonna be a war. I'm not saying I'm gonna knock him out. I'm not saying I'm gonna just TKO him. I got a strong feeling it's gonna go all three rounds. Really strong feeling to go all three rounds.
Nice. And there's other Syndicate fighters fighting on the card with you, right?
Yes, we got. We're going down there deep.
So how many other Syndicate do you know their names, or how many other guys are going with you?
So we got my boy Ryan, who's actually making his professional debut as well. He's the co-main event. And then my boy Abraham. I've been knowing Abraham for about almost a couple of years now. He came from South America. Well, he was already here in Vegas, but he moved to South America, and then he got in contact with me, and we've been talking ever since. But he's at Syndicate now, and he's gonna be fighting that card. My boy Branson, I've been knowing him for a few years. He actually was at a former gym I was at before, and he came to Syndicate, and he's looking beast, man. So that's gonna be a fight too. He's from Hawaii, so you know Hawaiians are soft. They like to catch fades. So
hey Chris, all I'm gonna say is this: can you imagine all three of you guys win? I don't want to see the after party. The after party is gonna be stupid. If all three of you guys take a dub, I'd say all three of you guys take a knockout. You guys all take my knockout stoppage. I don't want, man. I'm going to close my blinds, close my doors. Like Syndicate, they're out to get it. They're all ready to take it.
Yeah, dude, like five of us going out there. There's like five of us out there.
Oh, five. Okay, my bad. Five. Five. Okay, yeah. Five. My bad. Wow.
Yeah, me, Ryan, Branson, Abraham, and my other boy Thomas. Yeah, there's five of us going out there. Oh, no, and Ile. So there's six of us going out there.
Nice.
Damn. We're going deep.
Six Syndicate knockouts flying home. That's it. Man, beautiful.
Six Syndicate knockouts in Utah. I don't think we're going to make it home.
That's right. No. Chris, from here, what's the plan for you? Like, okay, so you start your professional career. You're at the Fierce Challenger Series. Shout out to those guys. Those guys have been great to us on Instagram as well. What happens next with Chris Rios?
What happens next? So my management, thanks to Mollywop. I love that name, Mollywop. But yeah, thanks to Mollywop, they've been keeping me active because I just fought, you know, last month.
Yeah.
You know, I just fought in the 12th, and they right like back to back. I'm here again, about to fight again. So after this Mitch guy, you know, I honestly don't want to take time off to recover. I want to be right back into it. I want to keep myself busy, keep going. So I'm hoping to get another fight right after this one.
Nice.
I just want to keep going with this.
And you're fighting at lightweight for this fight, which is 155. Is that your ideal weight, 155?
Yes. I for kickboxing Muay Thai, I'll fight at 157 or 165. And then when it comes to MMA, I used to fight 145, but I feel like it's too small for me now. So now I'm fighting at 155.
Hey Chris, I think I saw you. Yeah, you had pictures of weight scale, and you were at like 200. Was that true?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
200, Chris, you were 200, really?
Yeah, no. So actually, a couple years ago, I tore my ACL. Mm. I tore my ACL during training, so I took about 9 months off from training and fighting and all that. And instead of being healthy, I just decided, you know, whatever I saw, eat it. And I kind of went too ham on cheesecake, so yeah. So I went from walking like 165, I went from 165 all the way to 225.
Oh wow.
And
wow.
when I took my last fight, I was 205. So I cut 205 to 165 in 3 weeks.
What?
I'm serious. 205 to 165 in 3 weeks.
I need to do that, Prince. I need to get on the Chris Rios diet because I got to lose like 40 pounds quick.
Chris, did you sleep in a sauna?
No, but sauna didn't come to play.
What were you sucking on? Air? Like, yeah, what was your diet? Like, what was it?
That's crazy. So I was doing this. So my wife has been like really strict on this like whole keto diet thing. And I actually tried it for once, but instead I was doing like one big meal a day. So one big meal a day with a gallon of water for a whole day. And I'll go to training. We'll be there for like 2-3 hours, depending on how long passes. And after that, I go to work, which work sucked, man, because I'm in the kitchen, I'm making all these foods, and now it's torture. So I go to work, and after work, I'll be off like around 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I'll go home, and I'll run at least 5-6 miles, 5-6 miles a night. And then I'll cut at least 3 pounds a day, 3-4 pounds a day. So yeah, from that 205 to 165, it was an easy cut, but it sucked.
That's crazy.
Wow, Chris, I've never heard of that, man. You are my hero. That's nuts. And again, we both, Tim, I love cheesecake, right? Just cheesecake's my thing.
I'm killing it. Cheesecake is funny. I'm killing it. Well, not right now because I got to cut this weight. But like it was more like my wife. Dude, my wife, I'll get home. She's like, babe, you need to go running. Like, for real? She's like, yeah, you need to go running. I'm like, all right.
No, but that's good though, man. Yeah, that's great though, because she's pushing you and she's like a big partner for you, right? To get you on this journey and to keep you on track. So that's awesome. Chris, we reached out to Instagram. We put on our story. We were asking for fan questions. So we've got some fan questions that we want to ask you. Is that all right?
Let's go.
All right. So the first one, I cannot legally ask you on YouTube, but I'm assuming you know this guy. It's Cardona_man. Okay.
Chris does not look impressed. He's like, oh, here we go, man.
This must be a guy that you know. I'm not going to ask his question, but you can ask him for the question on your own. Let's get to the next one. Is Monster_Abe13. He asks, who's your toughest sparring partner?
There's a grip. My toughest, though, that's Johnny. It's Parsley. Yeah. That's my toughest sparring partner. Yeah. That's the one. So when it comes to like fight prep, I'll like get ready for fight camp, say like 2 weeks out, I'll duck Johnny. I ain't gonna lie.
All right. the next one is Unwrapped MMA. That's a great Instagram page. Actually, I know these guys. Do you feel nervous since it's your debut? Like, do you feel any extra nerves because it's your professional debut?
No, I feel like it's just another fight. I already have 21 fights as amateur. So this to me is just another one fight, and it's going professional. You know, I'm allowed to elbow and throw knees to the head. Like Muay Thai, I was already throwing elbows and title fights. So the only thing that's changing to me is knees to the head, which I'm excited for. I like throwing fly knees.
Yeah, Chris, honestly, man, it sounds like I've never seen a fighter so excited. Like, you're like, hey, I'm it's like you're going on a field trip. I'm like, hey, man, I'm going there.
You have no idea how long I've been waiting for this, man. Like, I've been fighting amateur after amateur after amateur after amateur for years. So finally get a pro fight where I actually get paid for it now, which is cool, yo. It's cool. And then I get to build my name on the pro circuit now. So that's why I'm excited. You know, it's a change. It's a change.
No, that's awesome, Chris. Next question is from Poetry of Violence. They ask, how much weight do you cut? And is it less than you? I think the question he's asking is it less than like UFC fighters, meaning because you're making your professional debut, is your weight cut less than what the pros may do, where they're trying to cut a lot to kind of stack a lot more after? Do you know?
No, it was less. It was less this time because, like I said, I just fought a month ago, so all I had to do was really maintain the weight. So I didn't go too high. I probably cut like 15, 20 pounds.
Okay. But 15, 20 pounds seems like a lot. What would your normal weight cut be if you had like more time in between fights?
So a normal weight cut for me would be like 25 pounds.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like 150. So 155 holiday. But after this fight, I'm probably to maintain at least 165, 170, and then it's cut for the next fight.
Okay. Nice.
Chris, and I was like, before we started the podcast, I'm like, when did you get so jacked? Like, you walk, you're like, hey, what's going on, guys? Let me just fix my phone over here.
I was trying to text on you guys,
This is me at rest.
The last fan question we're going to ask you is from King Neek Owns. What drives you to go harder, be stronger, and to make you do your best to win?
King Neeko? Trying to say?
I don't know. Do you think you? NEEKOWNS. King Neek Owns?
That's the homie from back like the day, like back.
Oh,
like,
really?
Way back then, yeah.
Okay, nice.
So, all right, so what was the question again? I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, no, good. What drives you to go harder, be stronger, and to make you do your best to win?
What drives me to be harder and be stronger? What drives me to be harder and be stronger is my teammates, my wife, and my opponents that are coming up. Because I know my opponents been training as much as they can just to beat me. Just to beat me. So I want to be faster. I want to be stronger. I want my cardio to be more better than their cardio. Like, my opponents is my main key, what drives me. Whoever I'm fighting, I want to be better. You know, whatever they're good at, I want to be better than them at that.
Nice.
Wow, man, bro, Chris, you got a really bright future ahead of you, man. Because I'm like I get the enthusiasm, the hype. You're like, yo, I'm ready to go. So, man, if they keep you fighting every month, man, when are you gonna take a break?
When I get injured.
That's it. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's a hard work and dedication.
Yeah, no break. No, Chris. I will say, like, I almost saw Prince tearing a little bit there when you were saying that, but. You are like a very charismatic guy. You're very well spoken. Like, you present very well. Like, I'm really happy that you came on this podcast. Like, I do think that you have a great future ahead of you. Do you do a lot of interviews? Do you do a lot of things like this? Man, because you see,
no, this is my second time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice.
Like, even job interviews, I suck at them, dude. I'm so nervous there.
Like, oh, well, I'm ready. I mean, I'd hire you if I had a job to give, but
if we're on like talking about fight stuff or like, you know, things that I can relate to, and cool, I got full grown conversations, you guys, like this, I could sit here for hours and just talk about fighting, you know, I could do that. But if you're trying to give me an interview for like a cook position or a new chef position, I'm going to sit and look at you like, okay, I worked here. What was the question? Like, I'm retarded with this.
All right, if anyone's watching this now, we found out what Chris's kryptonite is. So, Chris, what are your qualifications?
Yeah. Yeah, I think what's going to happen is your opponent's going to be grappling you in the ring, and he's going to say, how do you think you're best suited for this job? They'll just freeze you up.
If he hits me with a certain recipe during when he's trying to put me a chokehold, he'll win.
Yeah.
You know, okay, he asked me, right. Hey, what's the temperature of chicken to cook at? Then I'm like,
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll edit that part out so people won't know, Chris. That's fine. Chris, yeah, like I said, really happy to have you. Before we go on, and what we're going to do now is you're going to stick with us for the rest of the podcast. We're going to talk about UFC 264. We're going to talk about some of the fights. But before we do that, is there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to, or any last words that you'd want to say just as the end of this part of the segment?
So I want to give a shout out to my teammates that have been helping with this fight. I got especially Brandon Jenkins. He's a beast kind of fighter. Baron Jenkins been helping me a lot. Johnny Parsons, Chris Curtis, my boy Abraham, Branson. Everyone's getting for this fight. Everyone's getting ready for this fight. I've been put on my fight camp as well. And everyone else that's been just helping me train for this, I appreciate every single one of you guys. I want to give a good shout out to my sports management team, Molly Wild Sports Management. I've been with them for almost a year now, and they've been constantly helping me out and just putting me back on the map. So I really appreciate them. Sponsor-wise, I want to appreciate my sponsors, Gone 3 Fight Lifestyle. They've been having my back. Well, my boy Gabe's had my back for about going on almost 5 years now. Big shout out to him. Just appreciate everything he's done for me. I want to give a shout out to my wife because she's, you know, like I said, she's the one pushing me late at night to go running those 5, 7, 6 miles, whatever the hell she says.
Yo, Chris, I don't know why didn't you bring your wife? You should have brought your wife too. I felt like she's part of the reason why you're in this journey. You should have just had her right beside you.
Well, she just pulled up, but I don't know what she
Nice.
Yeah, I left the garage open. I saw her car, and I don't know what happened.
Nice. All right, Chris. Well, look, you're going to stick with us now for the podcast, which we really appreciate. But, you know, when it comes to your fight on July 17th, where can people watch it? Is it going to be online? Is it going to be where will people be able to see it if they're not in Price, Utah?
So if you're not in Price, Utah, there's a website called Fierce Challenger Series. It'll be on that website. I'll share the link again on my Instagram or on my Facebook. So that'll be a way to watch the fight from there. Besides that, if you're in Utah, go to Price if you want to see someone's head get kicked, you know? gonna happen.
Nice. That's awesome, man. For three rounds straight, it's just constant head kicks, right?
If it's available.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Hey, Chris, you got to promote this, man, because we're promoting out here in Toronto, Canada. So you're building a fan base over here. So, right? So we got to make sure we get you out up here. And, you know, it's one of those things, right? So we want to, you know, build the community together, right?
Yes, I.
Yeah. Oh. For sure. It's awesome. All right, guys, let's talk about UFC 264. It's this weekend. A ton of great fights, right? I did like this. This was the poster that UFC put out. I thought that was a pretty good one. They haven't done it. So UFC 264, a bunch of fights coming out of this one. I think the first one we wanted to talk about was the main event of the prelims, which is Carlos Condit versus who the heck is he fighting? Max Payne Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's a crazy fight, man. Like that's going to be a war for sure. I'm surprised that's not the first fight on the main card, quite frankly. But Carlos Condit, the natural born killer, he's 32-13, coming off 2-fight win streak, both decisions off of Matt Brown and Court McGee. Mm. Then you get Max Griffin, who's 17-8, coming off a 2-fight win streak as well. But both of those were knockouts. The last one was against Kenan Song. Who do you have winning that fight, Chris?
Dang, y'all put me on the spot. All right, so honestly, dude, I think I'm sorry. I know Carlos. He followed me on Instagram, but I think Max is gonna finish that fight. But I don't think he's gonna finish it. I think it's gonna go all three rounds. It's gonna be a good fight. Hey, Steven, why she pulled up? I thought she was already here.
I mean, this is truly like old school versus new school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
I mean, Carlos has been around forever, and he's mm-hmm. a dangerous guy. But Max Griffin, man, that guy is a killer. He's very aggressive, and he seems super excited for this fight. Like, I follow him on Instagram, and he seems super pumped. I think he knows that like this is a big name to get on his resume, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prince, what do you think?
Man, honestly, I pay homage to the legends, right? And I say Carlos is going to take it because ever since I saw the GSP fight and that war that they put on together, right? And I think Carlos is going to come back. And hey, look at what happened at Zombie. Look what happened with Korean Zombie. He took the dub, right? So I mean, I think let's not count these guys out, right? And even look at Chris's body language when he's like, "Oh man, I don't know," because you know what. He still might have a little fight in him, right? Because who knows, right? Because these guys are out to prove people wrong, right? There is a new generation, and then you've got old school. But hey, I never count out the legend, right? So that's what I'm going to Carlos.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I am. I don't know. I think I'm going Max Griffin on this one. I love Condit. I think he's amazing, but Griffin is hungry, man. I feel like Griffin's hungry, and I feel like this win for, like I said, for his resume will be so huge to take out a legend. I think he's just going to be, I think he's going to try and push through and get like a first round knockout or something. Coming off two knockouts, that guy's got to be super like positive and super jacked, ready to take this, right? Next fight is the first fight on the main card. It's Sugar Sean O'Malley versus some guy. So
the wish list, Sugar Sean.
this is the photo, and I apologize. This guy's name,
you're killing me, man.
This guy is Chris Moutinho, if I'm saying that right. But this guy's taking the fight on 10 days' notice. This is a terrible meme. Sean O'Malley's new opponent looks like the wish version of himself. That is pretty, I mean, that's a hilarious meme. This kid, again, took the fight on 10 days' notice. He's 9-4. He's on a 2-fight win streak, a knockout and a submission. Sean O'Malley, he's on a 1-fight win streak. He's won 3 of his last 4, but all of his wins come by way of KO. He's 13-1. If you ask Sugar Sean, he never lost the Cheeto fight, so he's technically 13-0, he'll say. This is a tough one, man. Chris, your making your professional debut, this Moutinho guy gets the opportunity of a lifetime, right, to step in on 10 days notice to fight the hype train that is Sugar Sean O'Malley. Do you give this guy any shot?
No.
Chris is like a straight killer. Nah.
There's a reason why I said that. So yeah. I saw this last guy, this guy's last fight. I remember I was watching the I forgot what promotion was, but I was watching the fights and he was on that card. The guy he fought was this complete garbage, right? He's a complete, not to downgrade the guy, but he was just garbage. Like, no defense to save his life. And the guy, this dude that's fighting Sean, he was piecing him up. Yeah, he was piecing him up, but it wasn't affecting the dude he was fighting. Like, it's like his punches didn't mean nothing. And he was still walking forward to him, just taking his punches and still hitting them back. This Sean's fighting was gassing out, and I'm like, the reason he won is because he got that submission. You know, that's the reason why he won. You know, besides that, now he's gonna fight Sean O'Malley, and like you said, he got the opportunity of a lifetime. Like, I'm surprised he got this fight. You know, when I saw that poster that you just showed me go up, I'm like, oh, what? Like, really? Him?
Yeah.
Him? I was like, oh, no, this is gonna be a highlight for Sean O'Malley, another highlight for him.
Yo, I'm so glad we got Chris, because now we have behind the scenes, right? People in Toronto, Canada, we just see what the facts are. Like, oh, there's the fact sheet. Oh, okay, I see. But if someone who's actually seen the fight, now you know, right? So there you go.
Yeah.
So you're saying, Chris, you're saying the guy doesn't have power. Is that?
The guy, he does, he can do submissions. Well, he does have a ground game.
Okay.
But it's not great. Like, I think my ground game is better than his, and I'm a Muay Thai fighter, you know? And his striking, it's cool, he's fast, but it's like, how can I say it? It's like my dog punching my 3-year-old. I don't know. Like, it's not effective. It's not effective. Like, the dude he was fighting was eating these shots like he was eating dinner.
Right.
It was nothing.
Okay. So suffice it to say you're picking Sean O'Malley for this one?
Yeah, I don't like Sean.
I don't like any of these fighters. The only one I like is me, Chris Rios, wartime, baby.
Yeah. Prince, what do you have? Who do you have for this fight?
Man, you know what? I know everyone's probably going to pick Sean O'Malley just because of the hype train and stuff. Honestly, I like underdogs. I really do. I love underdogs. Those guys that just counted out. You're like, hey, these guys aren't going to win. Oh, Chris is gone.
I think his video is frozen, so we'll let him come back. But go ahead. You can keep on with on. Hopefully he'll come back in.
I love underdogs. I love the guys that are counted out. I actually will pick the wishless Sean O'Malley.
Oh my God.
Who knows? I'm telling you, it's gonna build up to the excitement, because when you're watching the actual fight, Tim, you'll be like, what if all of a sudden he sneaks out like a bizarre submission that we've never seen before, right?
Impossible, never gonna happen. I mean, I don't understand. Okay, here's my problem. Sean O'Malley lost his opponent with, like, I think it was more than 10 days notice. He lost his opponent. Mm-hmm. The UFC couldn't find any guy in his weight class, or a guy in a weight class lower, that would step up to fight Sean O'Malley. Like, at least get a guy who's got more than zero fights in the UFC. Like, because you talk about octagon jitters, right? Mm-hmm. Which maybe is a real thing. But, you know, on top of octagon jitters, you're going to go on a pay-per-view. The pay-per-view with Connor, right? Here, we've got Chris back. Hey, Chris.
My bad. My phone got too hot in the garage. It's like 120 degrees out here.
That's your fault for living in Vegas.
It is my fault. I didn't choose this.
Oh, hold on. That's a pretty awesome shirt, man. That's a Syndicate shirt.
Ryan's dope. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and your hat was pretty awesome too. I noticed the hat was Syndicate as well. I gotta go out to Vegas and check out Syndicate.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
Chris, what I was saying is, like, it's weird that they weren't able to find another fighter to go up against Sean O'Malley, someone who had more than zero fights in the UFC, someone who was willing to cut the weight in 10 days notice. So take a guy from a lower weight class and say, you don't have to cut weight. Like, just come fight Sean. I give this guy no chance, and only because I feel like he's 10 days notice is tough already. But you're fighting Sean O'Malley, who's a hype train. You're on the Conor McGregor card. Like, there's going to be so many distractions in your life. Plus, this guy's got to be seeing those horrible memes that are being put out against him. And I feel so bad for the kid. Yeah. But, like, that's got to affect you, man. And I was saying to you guys before we started the podcast, on Embedded Episode 3, you see him signing the posters. And or I think he was signing the posters. And they say, like, oh, you know, how you feeling, whatever. And he looks at the camera and goes, I can't guarantee a win. It's like, what? Like, you don't even think you're going to win. Come on, man. Like, you got to say, like, hey, I'm going to knock this guy out in the first round. I'm going to shock the world. I'm going to, like, end this hype train. You know what I mean? Like, poor kid. I don't know.
He's already broken.
Yeah, that's a really tough one, man.
Hey Chris, you know me, man. I like to throw curveballs. I actually picked the wish list, Sean O'Malley, the Kirkland version. Of man, I picked him. Hey, listen, the Kirkland version, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, say he does take it, say he submits him. We coming back in here, and you guys gonna have to sit me. You guys gotta sit to where you guys are right now, and I gotta gloat the whole way through. Bro, I'll do this
if he wins, like you said, by submission, I will make you my Facebook and my Instagram profile pic for a whole week.
I mean, Chris,
I love this guy. It's sick. Yeah.
All right. We're going to, yeah. All right. Well, that's never going to happen, Prince. Don't worry about it. All right. Hold on, Chris, just so we can see you better. Can you turn your phone sideways?
Right, Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. All right. There. We get a better picture of you. All right. The next fight we'll talk about is the co-main event, which is Burns versus Thompson. You've got Burns, who's 19-4, coming off that loss to Usman, right? Before that, he had a 6-fight win streak. Taking on the Wonder Boy Thompson, he's 16-4-1. I can't believe Thompson's only fought so little, right? Like, he only has 21 fights. But 16-4-1, he's coming off a 2-fight win streak, both of them being decisions. So it's Wonder Boy versus Burns. Chris, who do you got?
Thinking about this like the whole week, and I've been like trying to figure out who will win. See, it's like an interview.
Stop.
I'm having to give this Gilbert. I don't know. Like, I feel Gilbert. I feel like it's leaning towards Gilbert a little more.
All right.
You know, his striking did improve. You already know he's a beast on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, Wonderboy, damn, I don't know. I don't know.
No, I hear you, man. I think Burns is a good shot. I mean, like, he was on a 6-fight win streak before he lost to Usman. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't getting, you know, destroyed by Usman. He had a shot. Like, he's a big, tough kid. Yeah. You know, and he looks huge too, right? Burns is a big boy. Prince, who do you got?
Listen, I mean, Chris mentioned that, you know, he wanted to pick Gilbert, and actually Gilbert actually hired somebody on that's actually a kickboxing expert. I don't know if you saw Embedded. Yeah. I think guy's name was Raymond, but I saw some of his highlights, and this guy looks like a man. He looks like he's really prepping Burns up just against Wonder Boy, just because, you know, Wonder Boy's got the karate background, the striking skills. I think it's a night of the legends, man. I honestly think it's the Wonder Boy. And Chris, I thought you were gonna pick Wonder Boy because of the karate background, man.
But he hated karate.
Hey, man, I was Chris, a child. I was a child that hated karate.
Yeah, how can you go for a karate guy?
Yeah. I did it.
Man, I thought it was for sure.
Nah, man, if Wonder Boy is like a Muay Thai striker, then okay, I'm going with Wonder Boy, but yeah, he's a karate guy. You know, to me, there's a lot of side kicks, and I think Gilbert's in partner to catch one of those kicks. He's going to catch the side kick. He's going to catch the body kick because, you know, karate guys have to kick to the body and the head.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, even Wonder Boy was like, you could watch some of his training videos and they're like, and a part of his training is it's all about the cardio. He's trying to build up his cardio and they were saying legs and lungs, right? And I'm like, wow. So he's looking like in really top shape. And and his dad's like, you know what? Even they said, they're like, we're not in for the money. We just want that glory. We want that belt. So I say Wonder Boy. Timmy, what do you got? Who do you got? Who do you got?
You say, or more Wonder Boy, if you say it like that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's going to send people to go do savage things if it's not for the money no more. You know, it's for the glory. Mm. So, yeah, you do some savage shit.
Yeah. I think, you know what, I'm going for Wonder Boy. And the only reason I'm going for Wonder Boy is because if you take a look at this chart here, and this is from our friends over at Pole MMA, they show these are the top ranked middleweights or welterweights. The top five welterweights have no wins against other top five, top 10 welterweights. Like, these guys all have very few wins against top competitors. So, like, Colby Covington is the number one competitor. He has zero wins against top five welterweights. You know what I mean? So, the only guy with wins is Stephen Thompson. He has two. Leon Edwards has one. Vicente Luque has one. Gilbert Burns has zero. So, if Wonder Boy wins it, I feel like he's a more appropriate number one contender to then at least fight Usman and have at least earned it in some way. You know, if Burns wins it, okay, I don't know that they give him the shot against Usman. And then, you know, Colby is still sitting in the wings waiting for a title shot. Like, the division just seems all weird. Like, I feel like these guys have got to fight each other and really determine who's the top of that heap and then go fight the champ, right? So I just want Wonder Boy to win so that he can kind of have like a stronger claim to the title shot. But that's my pick. All right, let's talk about the main event. I don't know if you've heard of these guys. It's Dustin Poirier, the Diamond, 27-6 with one no contest against McGregor, 22-5. The last fight, we know what happened. Chris, here we go. Your ultimate prediction, who will win the fight, Chris?
The Diamond, man. I got the Diamond.
Ooh, there we go. Very confident, very, very certain of you, Chris. And why will Dustin win?
Why would Dustin win? Have you seen Dustin fight lately?
Yeah.
Since that last loss from Connor, Dustin just took off. And his boxing is so good, man. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy good. And Conor McGregor has that power punch. He does have a power punch, but I don't think he has, like, the right stand-up for Dustin. You know, look at the last fight. He did not check one calf kick. He just let Dustin keep kicking him. But I think this time he's going to check it. But we'll see if he's ready for the Dustin's hands this time. And we'll see if he checks it. You know, usually you'll learn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Prince, what do you got?
Chris, I'm glad you picked him because you know what I was just about to say. Have you guys ever played with Rubik's cubes?
Yeah.
I feel like Dustin has figured out the Rubik's cube that is Conor McGregor, right? I feel like he's like, whoa, I think I figured this out. I honestly think I know how to beat this guy. And if you watch the last fight, man, I was like looking over it. It's almost like they switched roles. Because remember when they first fought, you saw how Connor's like, he went in there and he was like, oh, it's game. Like he was so loose. Like he wasn't even worried, hands down. And he was in there. And I'm telling you, when he was throwing his punches with confidence, he's like, yep, this is over. I'm not even gonna touch the second round. This time around, Dustin, oh my goodness, his striking, his boxing, it's there. It's all there. And I honestly think Dustin's figured it out. When you have that type of confidence and you're just loose on your feet, he looks great. I think he just looks solid. I honestly think Dustin's going to take it. Diamond's going to take this bad boy. What do you think, Timmy?
I'd love to argue with you, Prince, as I normally do, but I'm going Dustin all the way.
Wow.
I can't. Okay, here I'm surprised that we're all on board here because online it is very pro Connor. Like online, there's a lot of people that are really all about Connor. They want Connor to win, think Connor's going to smoke him. I'm like, I don't know, man. Dustin is a big boy. He seems very durable. I think he's got all the right mindset in the world. I think he's going to be super confident coming off the last win. And I don't know if you guys saw, the last thing I'll say is, I don't know if you saw where Connor said something like, oh, the first guy that goes for a takedown is a wimp or something, or whatever term he used. Mm. And then he says that, and then Dustin turns around and says, yeah, this is MMA, buddy, so you better be prepared for everything. Like, he's not going to fall for that garbage. Like, I mean, of course he's going to go for a takedown against Connor, or he's going to fake a shot or whatever and get Connor thinking. And then I feel like he's got the durability and he's got the strength to take Connor out. I think it's a bad move on Connor's part to take this fight. I think Connor should have fought Diaz or somebody else and looked for an easier win, because this is going to be another loss on his record, and it's going to like really devalue his stock, right? I think after this fight, his only fight is Diaz, because that's going to be the only one that would make sense.
But you guys, man, remember what, man, the one comment Dustin made, and to this day, now I look at my phone differently. Like, it goes, I don't know what you're talking about, Connor. I put you on airplane mode. Like this. Airplane mode. Like, wow. Like, but you know what? You also, I think the only way Connor might take this one is if he starts to, you know, he gets back into that like old routine. Maybe that's the reason why you don't have any cameras in front of him. That's probably the reason why Embedded's got nothing on him, because he's showing little glimpse of him, his old self. He was like, even the comments that he was saying against Dustin, he goes, I'm going to get you, P-head. I'm going to get you. Right? And I'm like, okay. Maybe he comes back. Hey, listen, if Connor comes back with the man bun and the stance like this, I think he's going to get it. Right, but if he comes back with a bald head, with a stance like this, it's Dustin first round, a minute 10 in. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because you said that Connor said that told Dustin that the first one to shoot is a wimp. Mm. So what he's saying is, because wasn't he the first one to shoot on Nate?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Did Connor shoot on Nate first?
Oh. Yeah, and I think that was after he was getting lit up a bit on the feet, right? And then he went for the shot, and everyone's going, wait, you're shooting on Nate Diaz? Like, why? How does this make sense? Yeah, but it's a tough one, man. But I mean, it's going to be a super exciting pay-per-view. Like, the fight card is a very good fight card. We'll see what happens. I mean, we're gonna see, and then hopefully we'll come back here. Chris, I really hope you don't have Prince's face as your Instagram profile pic.
Chris, let me tell you something right now. I'm more excited for that fight than the Connor fight. Listen, I'm going to have to do my research and find out about this guy and send him some messages. I'm like, listen, you got this, bro. You got this. The wish list, the Kirkland version, you got this. You got to put in that hard work, the dedication, man, because I've got a bet on you that's going to happen, right? So,
yeah.
Pick. I say, what pick?
Nice. Chris, before we go, there's something that we do at the end of every episode. We do something what is called our fight on site, where we pick two fighters to go up against each other. We didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but you are a gamer, right?
Yeah.
So you said that in the pre-interview, you said that you and your wife play a lot of Warzone together.
You don't play Warzone. She plays like Animal Crossing and all these farming games. I play Warzone.
Okay. Oh, okay, nice. Hey, the family that video games together stays together. So that's awesome. In honor of the fact that you guys play video games, and we were supposed to talk about it, but we are doing a fight on site gamer edition.
Oh, shit.
All right. So what we're doing, this is where Prince and I pick two different fighters to go up against each other head to head in a fantasy fight kind of thing. And we ask fans to go to our Instagram every Saturday, where we put up the battle, and then you can vote on the winner. So I normally get crushed in these battles, Chris. I think the score now on like between Prince and I am now, it's 12-5 for Prince. Oh. So he crushes me on the regular here, Chris.
Hey, Chris, you want to go back on that bet?
I was eating right now.
All right. So for the gamer edition, Prince, and because Prince, I know you got to go soon too. What? Who goes first, Prince?
I think I went first last time, right?
All right, I'm going to go first. I am picking a gamer that I did not know was a gamer until recently, where they keep showing up on my Instagram feed telling me to go watch them on Twitch. And it is...
She's a gamer?
Ronda Rousey. Yeah, man. So Ronda Rousey is always on my Instagram telling people to go. No, she plays a lot of video games and she's on Twitch. I mean, I don't know anybody that watches it, but I guess there are people that watch it. And here she is. Here's proof that she video games, Chris. That is Ronda Rousey in a Charmander onesie playing video games. So my pick for video gamer is Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
Prince, who do you got?
All right, listen, I actually got a really cool story about this guy. So my pick for Fight Onside Gamer Edition, in honor of our boy Chris Rios over here, I've got Brian Bam Bam.
Brian Bam Bam.
Okay,
Bam Bam Barbarena.
So Chris, we had Bam Bam in one of our last podcasts and we were talking because he's a big gamer. He's got a Twitch account as well. And so we did the podcast and he's like, Prince, come on, man, we'll play around. I'm like, all right, let's go. And this is like when the podcast was still coming around and we got on. Man, this guy, so he added me on his Twitch. His brother came on as well and we all played. And let me tell you, the hospitality, this guy was so nice. The hospitality of this man, even when we were in game, this guy dropped, we parachuted in. The man dropped his MAC-10. He's like, Prince, this is for you. I'm like, but where's your gun? He's like, no, take this. And he dropped me extra ammo. And like end of life and a survival kit, like a revive kit. I'm like, well, how about you? He's like, no, we're good. I'm like, yo, man, it's like having somebody over your house. Hey, you want something to drink? So Chris, honestly, that my pick is Bam Bam. That guy, catch him at DCTV brand. He's got a Twitch channel as well. So shout outs to my boy Bam Bam. So my pick is, yeah, Bam Bam Warzone.
All right. Ooh. All right. And there's one thing that we do, Chris. We are now going to do our fight on site, fight in site, fight simulator. We're going to need your help, Chris. Prince is going to have the two fighters battle it out on screen using our special software that we do. But we need you to make the sound effects for the fighters.
Yo, Chris, listen, this is like millions, billions of dollars of investment. So I'm just telling you, just have a seat. I know you did some training today because this is going to blow you away, buddy. So for our avatar for Ronda, we've got.
No way.
All right, that? Thor. A sticker of Thor, and he's on a straw. We're getting high tech.
Kind of like Ronda. Okay.
Looks like Ronda, yeah.
And for Bam Bam, we've got
Captain America. Beautiful.
All right.
Chris, you ready to make the sound effects, buddy?
We're really doing sound effects, like sound effects?
Yeah.
Come on, Chris. Ready? Let's go, man. You're making your podcast debut. Let's do this, baby. Let's go. And the winner is
Bam Bam, Bam Barbarena. All right, Chris. those were very karate-esque sound effects.
Was though.
I feel your karate upbringing came back to you there, so that was nice.
Yeah, bro, you put Thor against Captain America. The worst thing I thought about.
All right, guys, I've had a great time. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man. This is amazing. We're so happy to have you. In 2 weeks, you are less than 2 weeks away from making your professional debut. From coming out of Utah as a huge winner, being undefeated in your professional career. You're going to be 1-0. We're all going to watch for you. Make sure you send us those links for the Fierce Challenger so we can put it, guys, in the YouTube. We're going to have Chris's Instagram link as well as we're going to have the Fierce Challenger link, right?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Prince, is there anything that you want to say before we go?
I just want to say, Chris, listen, man, I've got mad respect for you. I honestly think you're going to take this bad boy with a knockout. You're going to take the dub. You're going to get your first W. It's going to be 1-0. You're going to have a perfect record. you know, you're going to do well in this sport, and I wish you nothing but the best. And I'm hoping that your intro music is something with Big Pun. Fine Twins, Big Joe. I think you should put that on as your intro, but I wish you nothing but the best and good luck on this fight, all right?
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, Chris, is there anything that you want to say before we go?
I said everything I could say, man. End with side effects. I mean, side effects.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. Guys, next week on the podcast, we are having a fighter from, where is he from?
Yeah, Chris, so, the gym. Our next guest is a fighter from Team Quest, Matt Padilla, who will be fighting on July 23rd on Epic 46 for a bantamweight title. It's going to be an exciting podcast. You guys got to be here for that.
All righty. Chris, we will follow your career. We will follow you wherever you go. Please come back on our podcast one day to let us know the progress and how you're doing. Anytime you want to come on, just give us a shout.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I got to come back after that fight, you know, let him know if I put his profile, my profile picture his face.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Chris. Have a wonderful day, man. Prince, have a good one, guys.
All right, take care, guys. Bless.
Bye, guys.